You're going to tell them to come see it, right?
Yeah. We'll pass it.
Everyone come see it.
Come see it, everyone.
It makes me cry.
Hello and welcome to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. I'm Robert Gagneau, and this past Sunday, I had the opportunity to see Pipe Dream Theater Company's production of Three Ghosts at Theater Row's Beckett Theater. Now, I set up this interview with the show's publicist and was told, like usual, I'd be able to meet the creators and key cast members after the show. What I didn't realize was key cast members in this instance would mean I'd be facing a full stage of talented people for an interview. So I'll just let the tape run from here.
So this is going to be an experiment for all involved. But... Oh my God, y'all are just intimidating. In the best of ways.
I think actually we're intimidated by you guys.
All right.
What's he going to ask us? I don't know the answer. Is Liz going to yell at us?
I'm Liz.
Is Liz here? You're Liz.
I am.
Liz Muller?
Yeah.
Awesome. You're in the show too.
I am.
Great. Okay. Good. So I'll be looking at you at certain points.
Okay.
Because you're, can you give me your title?
Okay. I'm Liz Muller.
I'm the producer and artistic director of Pipe Dream Theater.
Great. So this is Pipe Dream Theater's production of Three Ghosts, which is based on Dickens' A Christmas Carol, of course. And I am currently facing not even half the cast, and there are smaller class sizes in New York City public schools. And that's saying something. Everyone, so again, I stated this, maybe I'll cut this out, because I'm blown away by the number of people, the amount of talent in front of me as well, and what to do with so many people on a podcast. So I'm going to throw out questions. I think maybe that's the best way to do this. I'm going to throw out questions. I'm going to try to get the mic as close to you as possible to get your responses if you want to respond, but I don't know if we need to do some sort of system for everyone saying yes, I want to talk, or wow.
Tell us.
So, you speak now. You. So, again, Three Ghosts, based on Dickens. I wanted to say before we start that I was really shocked when I saw this. Everyone's seen this show. This is, for me, in the theater, having been in the theater, this is like the equivalent of being in dance and doing the Nutcracker. It happens every year. You haven't been involved with it in some way every year. We all know this. So what I was taken by was the fact that this story still gets me. And, I was, moved by this show. And that's weird because I know it so well. I know what he's going to say right now. Even though y'all rewrote the script, I still know what's coming, and it's incredible that it still moves. So I wanted to maybe get some reactions as to what it means to do a classic like this, and why do this classic for y'all, other than the fact that it's moving and awesome. So, Liz, we'll start with you. Why? It's your company. You tell me why.
Well, one of my favorite things in the world that is probably to my detriment is large cast shows. I love getting a million people on stage and featuring each one of those million people to the best of my ability and the best of their ability.
And you at least got a million and a half this time.
I tried. I tried. And I think, Three Ghosts isn't our only show, but it's the only show that we haven't done yet. And it was really exciting to get to do Three Ghosts this year with this group of people and at Christmas time in New York City on 42nd Street. Kind of everything just sort of fell into place this year. So we didn't really fight it. We just said, okay, let's do it. We didn't really have to think about it very much. We just said, that's it. We're doing it. And we'll cast it. And
so it sounds from the way you described this that this show's been written for a while.
This show has been written since 2006. Steph Rakuglia, who's one of our choreographers, is actually in the very first version of Three Ghosts, which was still called A Christmas Carol, but then Colin and I decided we were way too dark and brooding to call it A Christmas Carol, so we changed it to Three Ghosts.
It was
2007,
yeah.
And we actually wrote the very first version for her high school to do, and then we were like, that was the first musical Colin and I ever wrote together.
And wrote Time, the future dance, specifically for Stephanie to dance solo at that point.
And so we wrote it in pretty literally, I think,
2 weeks.
2 weeks. and just did it with a bunch of high school girls. And then we were like, well, we can write musicals. Okay. So then we just kept writing musicals and writing musicals, and this got some songs added to it. And then we did it at Manhattan College, and it was awesome. And we did it 2 years in a row there, and we added music for them. And then when we decided to mount it semi-professionally, we added more music and just kept kind of going with it. And it all just fell into place. We couldn't fight it. The cards were right.
Congrats that it finally came to this place.
Yeah,
we're
really
at the Beckett at Theater Row, and it's a very good space for this.
Yeah.
I feel it fits very well, despite the million and a half people on stage. It fits very, very well. What about everyone else? Why? What does it mean to you to do this piece? That's the sound of Marley's chains, in case that got picked up, which are quite excellent. Marley's also got really freaky eyes. Wow. I'm still like, this is like Halloween at Christmas time. It's kind of so. What anyone else like? What does it mean to do this piece for you?
Hello.
And we have Mr. Scrooge himself.
Bah humbug.
Can you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Elio Yeo, and I play Scrooge. It's shocking. There's a lot of responsibility, because although the original has been slightly adapted, there are still very iconic lines that you know have been, like you said earlier, you know have been said time and time again, and it's trying to find an interpretation, especially working in a steampunk genre where it's still the meaning still comes across. It's been an honor working with every single one of every member of this cast. I'm actually new to the group, and it's been phenomenal. It's been an amazing experience. Did that answer the question?
Yes.
I have a tendency of rambling on a little bit.
No, that was actually concise and wonderful, I think. We have another respondent, and this is his nephew.
Yep. My name is Kevin Hurley, and I play Fred, Scrooge's nephew. The reason this is one of my favorite shows that I've ever done is because it's like you said, it's something that's iconic and that everyone knows about. And it brings me back to my childhood, and it brings me back to like all the different versions I've seen, and like A Muppet Christmas Carol. And it makes me like really happy. But then also when I'm a kid and I'm too dumb to be sad, now I'm kind of reliving it, and I'm feeling all the other emotions as well. And it's just kind of a really amazing experience every single time we do this show.
Anyone else? Any other responses? Any thoughts on?
Hi, my name is Michael Stevens. I play Mr. Fezziwig, and I'm one of the several ghosts of Christmas Future.
Which is a really cool idea, by the way. That was really, really fun to watch.
Thank you.
I'm actually not a Christmas person at all. it's not one of my favorite holidays, but this show is still relevant for me, and I think that's one thing that's really important. Like Elio said, I think the show is a really good testament to theater in general, and how like theater is always changing, and you can always reinterpret the same story a million different ways.
I like that you said that this is relevant to you, even though you're not a, would you say, a Christmas
I'm
person?
Not a Christmas person.
Not a Christmas person. Okay, so even if you're not a Christmas person, this is still relevant. So I want to ask, why this show, other than the fact that it's the first musical you wrote, and like, okay, you want to do a large cast, and but why this? We have the composer as I scoot across half the stage.
I'm Colin Simon, I'm the composer. We were forced to write A Christmas Carol. Was the original thing about this. We had a school that was doing A Christmas Carol, wanted to get the rights to the Menken version, and that fell through. And with very little time, we said, yeah, okay, we'll just put something together. And that's how it started. So it was really just out of necessity. And then we kind of fell in love with the story because it is kind of everything that we are, which is it's fantasy, it's dark, but it's moving. Like, you know, you have the tear-jerking scenes, you have the happy scenes, you have the dark scenes. So it started by necessity, but it came to this point through it being everything that we love to do in a show.
We're two very overly dramatic people, I think. Colin and I love the overdrama in pretty much everything. And
she says with lashes and a huge white wig. And
and I think this story, just the drama is up and down and up and down through the whole thing. You just you're laughing and then you're crying and then you're scared and then you're laughing again. I just think it takes you through the gamut of everything, and that's exactly what we're about, is we just want to entertain people and make them feel.
Anyone else? What else? What does the show mean to you?
Well, like they said before,
can you introduce yourself?
Oh, sorry. No problem. Stephanie Recuglia. I was one of the Ghosts of Christmas Future, as well as the choreographer of that number. And for me, it's obviously really special because I did start out with it as a solo that they wrote it for me. And it was like, oh, yeah, I'm in high school. And it was fun. Now I'm graduating college and potentially considering this as something that I want to do in the future. No pun intended.
Pun very intended.
we chose to cast 7 people. And for me, it was really kind of poetic to have us there, so many, for me to see like so much growth to that number, and just to see, it's also not a typical Broadway dance piece. It's much more modern style, which I study. So it's really fascinating and cool for me to be able to put like weird things on like in a happy musical like that. Like that's just not typical, and I'm not sure if I'll ever get that opportunity again. So that's particularly why I love this, because it's.
I want to come back to that whether or not you'll get an opportunity thing. So don't let me forget, okay. Because it's really easy to forget with so
we'll
many
talk
people.
All night if you let
at some point, the podcasts are usually around 15 minutes, okay. But I can push it, no problem.
I'm Brady Lynch, and I play Belle. And I think one of the reasons that I love doing the show so much is I moved to New York in August, and it was.
Welcome.
Thank you. And I'm leaving in January.
Goodbye.
No, I'm working for Disney, so it's cool. But
yay.
Yeah. But I'm totally new to this group. It was like by necessity that I kind of fell into it, and I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, but I found that when you move to New York, you have to establish a family. You have to establish connections and friendships. And coming to rehearsal and then coming to do the show all week, it's like, oh, well, like, I'm not with my family back home, but I have my family here. And at this time of year, you can get a little lonely and you can get not happy. And it's nice to come here and to all have the same goal, but a little different at the same time, but be together and be our Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa family. I'm sorry, is that wrong?
Christmas, Kwanzaa, theater family. That's really, that's kind of why Go See a Show exists. This podcast is about finding what this community is that we all live in New York, because sadly, it can almost get lonely sometimes. I found that sometimes there's like little pockets. And I think those we all want to find our way out of our pocket and go meet other pockets. So I found a huge pocket right here. Another response.
Hi, my name is Larice Monet. I play Ghost of Christmas Present. I think that's what's relevant about this story, about this show. For I think the greater, I guess nationwide, we're seeing more of people becoming more disillusioned with like. You know, capitalism or like what's going on in politics and everything, and people just want to get more down to the human feelings and gather more into communities and feeling that warmth and that specialness. And I feel like this production in general, it's like it's a grittier side of life. I don't know, I'm rambling, I feel like, but I don't know. It just feels special to me to, like, just share with other people, like, this is what goes on in life. We have to be more in tune with each other, and this is the reality of everything, so that's what it means to me.
And it's never too late. I love that part of this, that I think that goes along well with what you're saying, that Scrooge is an old man. You're not old. You play an old man. But it's never too late, which is a really beautiful statement of a show like this. I wanted to ask as well, why steampunk? Anyone?
Awesome. Okay,
and Liz.
So, Three Ghosts is not our first musical. We've done some other ones. Our last big musical was Macbeth, the musical, and upon entering into that,
no one has crossed themselves. No one has done any dances on stage. Because I'm sitting on stage. I just wanted to point that out. Okay.
We got reprimanded when we were doing Macbeth, and we were made to spit and swear and throw salt around in the theater because we were just like
recite Shakespeare.
Yeah. But so we did Macbeth, and we again had a very, very large cast, and it was sort of tricky to figure out how to costume, how to prop, how to get everything in a budget that's not a corporate budget. Like, we are not corporate theater. So, and we started slowly prior to that falling in love with this whole steampunk thing, which is like, what is the show that said it's the Eurotrash of nerds, which I just love. I think that's awesome. but in a happy way, I think. So we did a whole show in steampunk and we were like, hey, this looks pretty cool. And then when we came upon this show and had to costume a million trillion people a million trillion times, it was just kind of financially the most sound way to do it, because everything, pretty much everything you see on stage is recycled clothing of some kind, and they don't look it. And Vanessa Price did an amazing job with the costumes, because everybody is wearing anything from like my dad's old clothes to like my mom's old clothes to Mike Stevens' old clothes to like anything we could find in the garbage and put new fun shiny stuff on it, and it looks amazing.
Like, is Miss Price here?
She's right here.
Hi. You're Miss Price. Yeah. She's sitting right next to.
Well, and look at her. This is like, these are. Well, you're not wearing garbage, are you? You look very nice.
Everyone looks very, very nice.
This... We did get this fabric on sale, though.
The shower curtain or the.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the curtain. Ariel, is she here? Fred's wife.
There's like literal like drapery. It's so the Sound of Music in this show, like. Anything that you see with stripes was probably someone's bed sheets at some point in time. Like, anything we could take and modify and do, we did. The end.
Excellent work.
Miss Price.
Thank you.
I have a couple things. First of all, steampunk for Three Ghosts, it works well because the whole thing is about time. And since steampunk is a very timeless kind of a thing...
Colin is smarter than I
am. It works to be this kind of mesh of time periods. And it also keeps it relevant in all time periods, because you're not, you know, saying, oh, this was back then, and, you know, it's just then. It's this fantasy time period, which is nice. And the other thing I wanted to mention was that when you said the Macbeth thing, how many people here went to school for acting?
There are five hands raised, six hands.
Out of all of these hands, which is why they don't even really know the Macbeth thing. They're back there. There are people who do this because they
really
love it.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
That's great. It is a silly superstition.
It is. But they do this because they love it, and they're... I guess you could call them, I wouldn't call them amateurs. They're people who love it, who don't normally get the chance to be up on a stage like this. And that's another thing that we love to do when we feature our people, is to feature people that really just love to do it.
There were a few ahs and oohs that just kind of came out. I don't know if that picked up on the mic, so I'm making sure I notate it. Any other parting thoughts? There's a lot of folks on stage who have not commented. So anyone want to say anything?
Charlie wants to say something.
don't just do that.
Charlie
went away,
not his name.
Hello. My name is Charlie. I played old Joe. So the reason that I love Pipe Dream Theater is I actually haven't acted in my entire life. I did my first show maybe half a year ago with Liz. So this is actually pretty spectacular for me. It's something I never really imagined I'd be doing in my entire life. And, I'm just having a really good time with it.
Grew up in Boston.
Yes. Someone in that podcast is dissecting your dialect.
Yeah. I think we call that method.
Charlie really just wanted to talk to you in an accent. Stop.
That's totally fine. So the one other thing, what did I say earlier? I said I wanted to talk about
opportunity.
Well, I'm really big on that idea that I might not have the opportunity again, and it seems like you kind of made the opportunity for yourself to make this show, and that's a pretty consistent theme in everything that has come up in the podcast, is that we want to make something. Let's go make it. What does that mean? So any interesting anecdotes, any thoughts on that? Like, what does it mean to just... say, well, we've got this musical that we wrote for a high school. Let's put it up on 42nd Street.
Well, oh my God, we're on drugs. What are we thinking?
We all are, in some strange way.
I guess in relationship to costumes, that's kind of how everything functioned, actually.
And with the set, Liz and Colin are very good with saying, we need to have a bed. And they're like, let's just go make it. And then they make it happen. And everyone, I think, can just say, like, that's part of the reason why we love to be part of Pipe Dream Theater is because Liz and Colin don't make empty promises and they don't have false visions. They have something in their heads and they want to make it happen. And then they get 20 people to come and help them make it happen if we're available to. And if we're not, they make it happen anyway. I mean, one day I was like, I'll help with sewing. And then I bought a sewing machine. And then Liz is like, we're going to make the clock out of fabric. And she's like, I think you're going to sew part of it. And I'm sitting there with like this huge clock, terrified. But I did it because they had complete faith in me. I don't know why. They're crazy, like they said, on drugs. But they let me help sew the set and their costumes. And that's kind of what they do. They make it happen. And that's the brilliance.
There's something different, too. And I'm not knocking it because I like it and it pays the bills. There's something very different about corporate theater as opposed to what we are, which is we're not community theater, but we are a community. And I very much believe that, I mean, Pipe Dream was just something we used to throw around. And then one day we were like, well, let's make it a theater company. And then it was a theater company. And then we said, let's write a musical. And then we wrote a musical. And then we wrote three more musicals. And then we had parties. And it just kept going. And so now we've just kind of gotten to this awesome brainwashing point where we can say, hey, people, we're doing this. And everybody's like, yes, you're going to do that. And I just, yeah. I don't know. I just, if you don't do it, who's going to do it? I don't know. That's why we do it, right? Because we love it. Yeah. Right. It's so silly, but it's true. Colin hates me. He's like, stop talking, Liz. Let someone else talk.
Yeah, I think Pipe Dream should definitely, like, establish some sort of school because, like, it's really, for me, it's been more of an education than, like, anything else. Like, I haven't just learned, like, things about acting because I'm not, like, an actor. But, like, I've learned everything about, like, tech and, like, well, how to recycle my clothes. You know, because a lot of, these are pants I never thought I'd ever wear again. You know, I was like, I'll discard these. They're high waters. But, yeah.
They were perfect for the show.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just a really cool thing, like, to be a part of this group because it cultivates people, you know. It cultivates a group. It's not just a cast, which I think is really important.
Going off all that, too, I think, you know, I'm in school for acting and dance, and my teachers always say that when there is no, they don't have much faith that we will all succeed. So they say if you can't find work, you have to make work. And I think that's exactly what, you know, and that's why I love playing with Liz and Colin, because that's what they do. They just make work. They don't expect anyone else to hand them a thing. And therefore, they've kind of instilled that with me for a long time, because I've been working with them, obviously, for a long time, is that no one's going to hand me things. No one's going to make up my dance for me. I'm not going to steal choreography. You know, I've got to figure it out, and you've just got to do it. So.
You've done it to great effect.
Thank you.
So thank you, everybody, for God, there's so many people on the stage. I'm still intimidated. Thank you all so much for hanging out.
Thanks for coming to see the show.
Oh, of course. No, thank you.
I'm still nervous talking to you. he's recording.
The short guy in the, you know, with the nerd glasses.
Do you see what I'm wearing? I think
that's what makes you intimidated. But you rock it.
So,
thanks, everybody. Congrats on an excellent show.
Thank you.
And, yeah.
Thanks to everyone on stage for this really, really fun interview, even those who didn't get a chance at the mic. Three Ghosts runs through December 23rd on Tuesdays at 7, Wednesdays through Fridays at 8, Saturdays at 2 and 8, and Sundays at 3. Head over to pipedreamtheater.wordpress.com for more info on the show and for tickets. And, as always, thanks to you for listening in to Go See a Show. Leave comments and find more episodes on goseeashowpodcast.com or on iTunes. And if you've got an idea for podcast or just want to say hi, feel free to send me an email at Robbie, R-O-B-B-Y, at goseeashowpodcast.com.
Go see a show!
Yes. And a dream has been fulfilled on episode... Episode, it's no longer a pipe dream. Episode 14 of the podcast.